Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM here in Seattle in North America. The program focuses on Out of This World information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you won't hear elsewhere. We are also the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the world, and we are among the top-rated shows in Seattle and number one on KKNW. The purpose of the program is to raise human consciousness to make this world a much better place to live, and with everyone's help, I know we can make this a better planet. Before I introduce my guests, I just wanted to tell you briefly, tell everyone briefly about the wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference that Out of This World Radio is sponsoring from November 21st through the 23rd at Fort Worden State Park in Port Townsend, Washington. The conference will include private room accommodations, free psychic readings and workshops from the world's best psychics and others. The cost for there is a special running. Normally the price is $297, but we've dropped it down to $197 for those who pre-register for the first people who register before October 17th. The conference will include some of the most famous and well-known psychics, astrologers, UFO researchers, and others, including Susan Liberty Hall, who will discuss natural healing methods to cure cancer, Scott Lemriel, a UFO contactee, Lois Berman, a famous Boston radio and TV psychic, Dr. Susan Shumsky, a famous New York spiritualist from New York City, Phoenix Redhawk, a Long Island, New York healer and animal communicator, Told Rolson, a wonderful Seattle psychic and metaphysician, Teresa Carroll, Don McFarland, wonderful psychics from the Seattle area, the Emoto Peace Project, Michiko Hayashi, representing Dr. Emoto, Tricia McCannon, a well-known psychic and UFO contactee from Atlanta, and Gordana Bernat, a famous Swedish spiritualist. For more information on the conference, please go to www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on the Psychic Conference. By next week, we should have our own dedicated website to the conference, which will be www.galacticwisdomconference.com. For more information, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or give me a call anytime at 1-888-879-8339 or 509-750-9793. I wanted to tell my many listeners around the world, too, you can always listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld1150.com by going to the bottom of the page and clicking on our guests. Before we begin, I also like to thank the many people who've supported this show, both in helping it get off the ground, moral support, web design, especially Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful moral support for the last year for the program, and without whose friendship and help this program would not have been possible. My friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College. My friend Heidi in Switzerland, who's been helping her to arrange appearances by Eric von Doniggan and other wonderful European psychics. My angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my station manager, Eric Crema. Without whose help and support this would have not been possible, as well as Karen Anderson, who's been providing help with the conference. We were supposed to have on Graham Hancock today. He's in Minneapolis. He's one of Britain's most famous ancient civilizations archaeologists and a wonderful, accomplished author. We have a Skype number for him, but we can't seem to get through on Skype. I've sent him several emails. So what I would love to do instead is to have Scott Lemriel on. Scott, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Thanks for coming on the program with no notice.
Oh, you know how I am. For you guys, I told Eric, for you guys, anything.
Well, before we begin, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the short notice
no problem at all, Ted.
For the conference. I haven't explained much of this, but I want to go into a couple details. There is an international UFO conference that I've been invited to a week from today in Norway. I'll be flying out next week to the conference. It'll be held in Bergen, Norway. And I know I have listeners in Scandinavia, as well as in Germany and Switzerland and France and in England. And if you can make it to Bergen, the conference starts on Friday, October 10th, and lasts until Sunday. The unique feature of the conference is that it has people attending who've had face-to-face contact with benevolent ETs, benevolent and other ETs, some not so benevolent. But I just want to thank both Terry and Ann Kristen for inviting me to their wonderful conference and for covering my costs there. Scott, would you like to say a little bit about the conference and how you got involved with it?
Yeah, I got involved with it because I had gotten a nudge to write a specific, very, very important kind of a letter. It was fairly lengthy. Then to get to Omnik Onik, who's going to be one of the speaker presenters like myself at the conference in Norway. She's presently in Germany touring and will be up at the conference on the 10th through the 12th as well. And I got a nudge to give her this information about something I knew that she probably was not yet aware of and that would be important for her. So I contacted her ex-husband in Chicago, and after a couple of months of emails, eventually it got sent to her. Next thing I know, and this my only intent was that this benefit her, and next thing I know, I got a call from Anya, her friend, and the publisher there of her book. I think it's called The Venusian Trilogy. Mm-hmm. Wanted to know if I could give them permission to use what I wrote to privately for Omnic's benefit and use it as the last chapter under my name for the culmination of her entire trilogy book. I was surprised. And I said, well, sure, that would be fine. I had no intention of being published in her book. I don't receive any royalties for this. It's just something to serve, to be a benefit. And this has been a great boon. So this is how it started. After I said yes to that, I got a publishing deal in New York for the Sabres Agenda. So one thing leads to another.
Fantastic.
That's how that happened.
That's wonderful. I want to give out the website for those interested in it. There are websites in English and in Norwegian, and I assume most people in the United States would want the English one. It's http://UFO-conference is spelled K as in King, onferanse.com/English. And if you go to that, you'll be able to, or just UFO-conference, KONFERANSE.com, you'll be able to look it up and then go to the English version. Now, Omnik Onik has an interesting background, doesn't she, Scott?
Yeah, Omnik is a person from another planet who was brought here as a 5-year-old little girl and took the place of a girl who was killed in a bus accident. So that's been a bus accident. And so she's had to live out her life in a planet like this, knowing this all her life and having come from another world. Of course, that's been kept pretty quiet. And then she decided to come out and tell people about it and was being instructed to do so.
Fascinating.
And in the same way, so have I. I've come out to, after 30 years of preparation, to begin to reveal what is so important about the Sabres agenda.
Fascinating.
And the Sabres agenda is not my agenda. It's an off-world agenda dealing with transforming this planet, a recent decision.
I would say it's a benevolent off-world agenda. Is that
absolutely
correct? Okay,
absolutely.
Just to distinguish it from some other ET agendas which are not benevolent.
Right.
Where did Omnik Onik come from? Did she say what planet she's from?
She said Venus.
Venus.
And, of course, most people think Venus is a highly high-heat world of about 700, 800 degrees, and they would be right. But she doesn't come from the physical Venus that we know of here. In science, there's theories of about parallel dimensions. In fact, they know there are 11 higher dimensions they can prove mathematically but can't get to them today, even in today's scientists on Earth. However, in Venus, where she comes from, she came from the lower, from the level of the what's called the astral plane, and they went through a process to slow down her molecular form into a physical form. It's very rarely done. So she could finish out some karma she had with who is her, I think a sister in this life, the girl that died. Mm-hmm. And to carry that out, she had to come to Earth to do that. And it's in her book, so I don't need to get into too many details about that, except that it's a very interesting story, and she's a courageous trooper to have come out and said this so many years ago on Jerry Springer and been ridiculed all her life for this. She's not wealthy. She doesn't live the life of a great famous person. She's humble, and what she's doing is hard to do.
Sure.
So I commend her for it.
Oh, absolutely. What an interesting... Well, I'm looking really forward to seeing her when I get to Norway next week. What amazing lady.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity that you're coming as well, Ted, as a radio show host and a friend of mine. And you're going to have a great time there and meet some really unusual, interesting people.
Well, I think it'll be truly out of this world, Scott.
coined a phrase, yes.
Out of this world.
Very well put.
Well, next a week from today, I will be broadcasting live from Bergen, Norway, from the conference. There's a bit of a time difference, 9 hours, so that I plan to drink lots of coffee that evening. And I think 2 o'clock Pacific time is 11 p.m. in Norway, so I'll be up from 11 p.m. to 1 p.m.
I'll join you for that, Ted, for moral support.
Well, that would be wonderful. Wonderful.
Okay.
And I'm for my many listeners around the world, if you'd like to listen to a truly out-of-this-world interview, please listen in a week from today with both Scott. And I'm going to ask Omnik, too, if she'd like to come on the show.
I'm sure she will.
That'll be wonderful, because I'd love to get her her perspectives. Well, you know, Scott, you've been on the program many times, several times, and I really enjoy talking to you because I always learn something from you, Scott. And the most important thing that I learned from you is the message from our friends from far out of town, the Galactic Alliance, that we do have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us.
True.
That the light is much stronger than the dark, and we just kind of have to keep that in mind as we deal with life's little adventures every day.
Yeah. From what the media, which is very controlled.
Okay.
And what a classified government worldwide does to keep the knowledge of extraterrestrial life they've had contact with more officially since after World War II under Eisenhower.
Sure.
And there's a long story as to why they did it back then and thought it was the right thing to do. It's just gone too far.
Sure.
And
sure.
They've been actually trading for an exchange of extraterrestrial technology with, well, totalitarian race mostly, unfortunately. And to get the technology we've suddenly sprung into after World War II, like fiber optics,
right,
molecular-sized computer chip technology, cold fusion technology, resistantless metals that have absolutely zero resistance, carbon fiber wing technology, all this came out of downcrafter technology that was given to us intentionally, but not necessarily with the best of intentions for the kind of treaty that it was. So when you look at the world, people realize that something's not right. There's something out of balance, because if the good guys from out there, which are the majority outside of Earth, were really more openly available here, we would not have the kind of world troubles we're having now. It wouldn't be this kind of planet. So
Scott,
I think most people know there's something a little off.
Sure. If you don't mind me just making a quick announcement for those who are just tuning in now, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM. In beautiful Bellevue, Washington, a suburb of Seattle in North America. And we have as our guest Scott Limriel, the author of the Say Raise Agenda. We were scheduled for Graham Hancock today, but I understand Graham's at a conference in Minneapolis now, and he's gotten some delays, so we put Scott on with no notice, no preparation. So what are friends for?
It's okay. I told you, for you guys, I'd do it anytime.
Thanks. Thanks for coming on your time and sharing it with everybody around the world. One of the things I wanted to ask you is you mentioned you mentioned a whole bunch of different issues. The world is in kind of a mess. And if you look at all the conflicts and wars we've been in through since World War II, we've had war after war after war, conflict after conflict after conflict, with seemingly no end in sight. This agreement, these ETs that you mentioned a few minutes ago, that which are not benevolent, do they feed off negativity? Do they feed off war?
Well, let's say they feed off them being the most arrogant, prideful people who take great efforts at covert operations, far beyond the NSA or CIA or any of that people know on Earth, which is the problem, because they know how to outdo us.
Sure. Sure.
And anyway, they pride themselves on being the most covert manipulators in the galaxy. They do what they do, just short of going to war with an off-world or extraterrestrial treaty between the majority of benevolent spacefaring races and highly evolved beings and the few totalitarian races that have high technology. Mm-hmm. That treaty has been kept from us from going into a galactic war in our galaxy for 500,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been broken so many times in a Cold War process, not worth the paper it's written on. So it's all becoming to a whole different conclusion, or it's coming to a head. And what they've done off-world is come into a new technique or a way of neutralizing what are called subconscious terrorizing implants in these off-world races and in hidden leaders on Earth today. that are not in control of what they're doing anymore. Anybody looks at the world, that's, they've got to see that that's true. They aren't in control of what they're doing anymore. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't do it.
If you don't mind me stopping you there, Scott, now this, it stems from an agreement, I think, that Eisenhower signed in 1954 with
yeah, the date I never get into because who
okay.
knows?
Approximately classified. Somewhere around
but approximately
there.
At that time, yeah, sure. there was okay. a treaty that he signed. You can imagine a guy like Eisenhower coming out of a war, getting a nuclear bomb passed on to him from Truman, you know, and starting up the ramp up the Cold War of the Soviet Union,
right.
and his generals and his advisors suddenly get confronted,
sure.
classified,
sure.
meeting extraterrestrials for the first time, a five-star general like him.
Right.
That must have cooked his biscuits pretty good,
yeah.
so to speak,
yeah.
and scared him. And mm-hmm. these were humans who first met him from other worlds, human beings,
mm-hmm.
very advanced,
mm-hmm.
benevolent.
Mm-hmm.
They offered to straighten out this planet, but they have one rule, and this is the law outside this planet. We have to give up all of our nuclear and radioactive materials because they are outlawed outside of here. There's no constructive use for them.
Weren't they the Pleiadians who came to see him first, I thought? Or is that... Is that...
Representatives, I think they were,
okay.
but they were representing a group of 450 million highly
oh, I see.
Evolved
okay.
space-faring races.
Okay,
so,
all right. Okay.
And they weren't just representing the Pleiadian group.
Sure, I understand.
Okay, they were
sure.
they were ambassadorial in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Eisenhower and his people thought, geez, we can't do that. Besides, we couldn't convince other countries like the Soviet Union to follow this.
Right.
They wouldn't trust us, so we can't do it. We can't accept it.
Right.
Besides, if we give up our nuclear weapons, we'll be vulnerable to a foreign power on Earth or an alien race that might be lying to us.
Sure, sure.
They had to turn it down, reluctantly, mind you, because he felt good around these people.
Right, right.
They were uplifting. By treaty, though, a few months later, what people don't know is he met with another group, a totalitarian group,
mm-hmm.
by treaty.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's not war and covert intentions to take anything over, they can meet with us here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he met with a totalitarian group, and they said, we don't care if you give up your nuclear materials, radioactive materials.
Uh-huh.
We'll do a limited exchange of extraterrestrial technology in order to do some genetic sampling of some of your people. Eisenhower was a good man. He turned them down. He said, we can't do that. So this guy was very clever. He says, okay, if you don't sign a treaty with us, we'll go to the Soviet Union. We'll make them the preeminent power on Earth.
Oh.
What he didn't know, and he signed it, but what he didn't know is they were already in the Soviet Union at that same moment, pulling mm-hmm. the same blackmail trick on them,
mm-hmm.
breaking a treaty to do it.
Wow.
So this treaty breaking they've been doing has been being monitored by benevolent ETs all along.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where this started.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you think about how classified things have to be,
right.
it's not because of foreign bad guys on Earth. It's because of who they made the treaty with.
Oh.
You don't want to reveal that to your people.
Interesting, interesting. Now, I have to ask you, we've talked about this off-air before, Scott, but for my listeners, I do want to ask you this question. So since 54, we've gotten this technology, but they've also been engaged in large-scale abductions of humans on this planet. By your estimates from your friends from out of town in higher places, how many people have they abducted during those
years?
Over
6 million.
And how many have been returned?
A very small percentage.
So most okay. of the most, what's happened to most of them?
I wouldn't even want to say it on the air.
All right, okay.
But I can say this, and this is the bright side of it. I
yeah.
never project doom and gloom
sure.
like so many people who don't
right.
know any better
right.
about our future.
Sure.
And the reason I say that is not because of massive people on Earth that are going to be awake enough or enlightened enough to take power back from these tyrant few leaders, these
mm-hmm.
hidden families and things that run this
mm-hmm.
world today.
Mm-hmm.
Who are not in control of themselves. It's more about the fact that an agreement was made off-world recently, a little
mm-hmm.
over 3 3/4 years ago now, Earth
mm-hmm.
time,
mm-hmm.
to benevolently intervene in this planet because, in fact, people on Earth don't have the free will they think they have, in which case they don't have the free will to decide not to have this planet go up in smoke.
Oh, interesting.
Therefore, it's come to pass that an agreement was reached and a new tool they have to do it, to bring about this transformation that they offered Eisenhower in the beginning,
sure.
which means the bad guys are not going to have a choice in the matter because they're not going to go to war. They're sore losers. If they were kicked off the planet, they would destroy it,
right.
as galactic history points out. But
right.
the driving impulses subconsciously that make them behave in such a diabolical manner, That's being neutralized first off-world and from behind the scenes on Earth so that this world can be transformed instead of destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. One thing I want to point out is during this, it's been 60 years now since, roughly, since 54, roughly around that time that Eisenhower mm-hmm. signed this agreement with these
right.
With these reptilians. And during that time, they've done 6 million abductions. From what your friends have told you out of town, are they able to implant us with devices which...
They've already done it.
Already done it, which control...
And it isn't devices. This is
okay.
where people mess up.
Okay.
The device technology or microchipping of things
okay.
is an earthbound technology trying to reverse engineer off-world technology, but the actual implantation is put into the subconscious field through a carrier wave, a low frequency,
okay.
into the electromagnetic field of a person without their awareness. And then they're like artificial terrorizing images that compel people to move away from every time they get near finding their true nature, their true free will, or recovering some of their natural, already evolved abilities as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
This plays across their nervous system, and they naturally feel terrified and move away from the terror, but they don't see or hear what's terrorizing them. It's very clever.
Interesting.
It does not require a physical implant, but it does require an advanced misuse of technology to do it.
So these reptilians and their other clone species, the Greys, have basically interfered with our evolution, haven't they? Spiritual evolution.
Of course they have.
Okay. And that.
Yeah. And but the thing that people need to know is most people don't hear about abductions anymore.
Right.
Because the abduction and harming of people has been ceased. I won't go into the details like on radio now why I know that's true. But that has been stopped. At least that much has been stopped, or there'd be
Good.
A lot worse problems here.
Good.
So some intervention has happened, and during the Cold War, this is highly classified, and I don't care if I say it on the air.
All right.
The point is that there were 12 times during the Cold War where these guys in the Soviet Union and the U.S. actually pushed the button to annihilate this planet for one reason or another that was not revealed.
My goodness.
And in each case, and this is documented from people who used to work at these bases, who have mm-hmm. come forward now.
Mm-hmm.
Each time that happened, a couple of alien craft would hover over the base here in the Soviet Union, shut down the launch computers.
There was a time that I heard about in the 80s during the Reagan administration where that, I remember that happened. They couldn't explain it. UFO
yeah, they were shut down, and then the ships, they wouldn't talk to anybody, wouldn't interfere with our planet. These
sure.
are the good guys now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would fly away, and the launch computers would turn back on, the launch mode shut down.
Oh.
You don't want to tell people that some power can do that to your military, because they won't become baby boomers and rebuild a world that was destroyed after
sure.
World War II.
Sure.
So it was kept obviously classified.
Was this the nuclear technology that, that our... Oh, maybe I should phrase this carefully. The nuclear technology that came into our hands during and after World War II, was that given to us by the reptilians in order for us to destroy ourselves?
Some of it was shot down and recovered, but it was not shot down by us.
Okay.
Number one, we didn't have that ability in 1947.
Okay.
Like the Roswell crash, okay? The CIA and the National Security Act, which allowed for this classification of things, came about 3 weeks after that Roswell crash. Mm. 3 weeks.
Wow, amazing.
So there was a reason and a connection for that. And mm-hmm. it wasn't just the U.S. 35 countries agreed to do this
mm-hmm.
worldwide.
Just briefly, I just want to make a station announcement for those of you who are just tuned in. This is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, a suburb of Seattle in the United States, North America. And you're listening to a wonderful interview with Scott Lemriel, the author of The Say Raise Agenda and a contactee of the Galactic Alliance for the last 52 years. If you could pick up on that thought again, Scott.
Yeah, what's important, what my message, what I'm doing, why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Why the book was written is that it's a book, it's not a novel. I made the mistake first putting it out on January 10th and listening to the word novel somewhere. I didn't think about it. It was my naivety, but most people can conclude that a novel is fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the third edition that's out now in 7 months, and all references to novel have been removed because I want to make the connection for people that this book is based entirely and solely upon direct experiences I've had with the subject matter I reveal in the book. The names of characters and locations of certain events have been changed to protect really the innocent on this planet until an unexpected, entirely unexpected, uplifting transformation is openly underway here.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know it's hard to say a time frame. Have they told you anything about a time frame?
What I do, because I don't get into predicting times, because this is my awareness, and I've studied it deeply.
Sure.
Psychic predictions about the future and precise dates dealing with massive world change or Armageddon have never, ever come true from any psychic in world history.
Interesting.
This is almost the year 2015. By now, we should have had a third world nuclear war, a moon plague that have wiped out three-quarters of the population of this planet, and other things which have not come to pass. I'm not saying the world's in great shape, or that we don't have earthquakes or tidal waves or global warming. We do. Or chemtrail spraying. That's a whole other issue. We do.
Yeah.
But there have been the influences here, just short of open disclosure, that have kept this place from being destroyed by misguided people and the people who misguide them, who are also misguided.
Interesting.
And that's important to note, because most people can't yet see the positive influences that are where this changed or altered destiny, prophesied destiny for this planet, has been significantly altered in just the last 3.5 years.
I want to tell you that my many listeners around the world that on October 17th, part of the program will be devoted to chemtrails. It'll also be devoted to Dr. Stanley Monteith, a dear friend of mine who passed away earlier this week. He had a wonderful radio program, and he was very interested in both smart meters and chemtrails. But we will be talking about chemtrails. What do you know about chemtrails, Scott, from your friends?
Well, I can tell you this. The spraying of harmful heavy metals and chemicals from our own Air Force and other military branches, not just in the United States but worldwide, is being orchestrated by an influence on these people and their superiors that they cannot control. I mean, let's face it, if an Air Force guy sprays a bunch of chemicals over a designated populous area that is designed to change the genetics or harm people or age their internal organs artificially or shut down and destroy their reproductive systems, which is what these chemicals are designed to do, then you have to realize, have compassion, because these guys go home to their wives and kids. They don't realize what they're doing or they wouldn't do it. For instance, anybody listening to the show, Eric, the engineer in the studio, you, Ted, or me, we would never do that if we were asked to do it in 100 years.
No, we wouldn't.
None of us would.
No.
So why would normal people become abnormal in this way? So well, to answer your question, it's being done, but the people who are doing it, the people ordering it, are obviously not in control anymore of what they're doing, or they wouldn't do it. That means that some other element, some other set of beings, has an ulterior motive for causing them to do that.
Wow.
And that's one of the first things that the Galactic Alliance and the Say Rays, which the book reveals, are engaged in neutralizing in a benevolent way. That's the message of this book. And then I also show people how to access and safely explore purposefully hidden truth through their own sanctity of their own being, so that they can validate for themselves what I reveal in the book. That's the main thrust of what I do now.
Sure, sure. Well, on the in a couple of weeks, we will have a program on chemtrails. We'll also have several other interesting people on as well. But I've done the I've taken air samples, water samples, and fish samples from a lake in Moses Lake, where I have a house that's in the middle of sale right now, but I'll be moving here soon. But I've taken those samples and got all the results back from a wonderful university lab in the Midwest. And the results of those laboratory results are just shocking. For example, the amount of sulfur in the water in Moses Lake is 5,100 milligrams per liter. That's extremely high toxic levels of sulfur. There's also high levels of aluminum, borium, and strontium, which don't naturally occur in nature. And then there was also high levels of radioactivity in the air filter as well. And I don't know whether that's from the spraying or whether it's from another source. But
that's from the air.
From the air, yeah, from the air. Extremely high levels of radiation. So, but one thing I have to ask you is about Fukushima. Earlier this year, it was forecast by our scientists and scientists around the world that there was a huge radioactive plume of water headed for the U.S. West Coast.
Yeah, I remember that, yep.
With Washington as the primary target. It was just coming across the Pacific. Of course, Fukushima happened back in, I believe, it was March 2011.
Wasn't that supposed to be like 100 times greater than all the nuclear bombs tested above ground?
Extremely radioactive.
Extremely.
And one of the psychics I had on in the spring forecast that if that wasn't cleaned up within 2 years, we'd all be toast out here.
Oh, we'd all be dead already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I went out and did saltwater samples and sent them to a laboratory in May. I sent them both to two different university, well-known national university labs mm-hmm. for confirmation.
I remember that. I was witness to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Scott was witness to that. Nothing. There was no radiation. And I was scratching my head saying, what happened to the radiation?
You should back up a bit, though, Ted, and let people know. I think that there was 60 rads plus radiation, measurable radiation just a month or two before this occurred.
And well, that's true. And there were also radiological studies done by the University of California at Berkeley Physics Department,
right.
which showed this huge amount of radiation coming off in mm-hmm. Humboldt Bay, along San Francisco, all that area. Oregon, too, does testing.
Southern California, all the way down through South America along the Pacific Rim, right?
Amazing. Yeah, all the way down, up and down.
Mm-hmm. All the way to Alaska.
All the way to Alaska. And then suddenly now, my friends, the good news is that it's gone, totally gone. And what's interesting, too, is that the media, I mean, as with many things, they don't report it. But you have to ask yourself, if it was there 6 months ago, headed right to the coast with this huge amount of radiation, now it's gone. Who took it away, or what happened to it?
I can tell you it wasn't any government on this earth that did that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it wasn't totalitarian ETs that did that either.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things that CNN and major news networks in prime time, they're all bought by the military-industrial complex after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You can trace that and find that out for yourself if you're willing to do the homework. But it means that the news coverage in our country is anything but free.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It also means that it's highly censored, especially under current government policies to monitor everybody and everything.
Well,
so, you know, when you go out and do the measurements and scientists do and say, hey, we're getting this heavy radiation off our coast, and then and it was even announced on TV publicly, fortunately, that this radiation thing that was measured from California found that there was none there. And yet it's not advertised or really brought to the major news networks across the country, but it was public knowledge here. And oddly enough, when you find something as staggering as that plume is gone, you don't even hear about it on the news.
Nothing. Not a thing.
Not a thing.
But you'll hear about it on Out of This World Radio.
That's it.
That's right. Just briefly, I just like to make a station announcement. For those just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here at 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. We're interviewing Scott Lemriel today on the on all kinds of out of this world things. Scott, the other thing I wanted to ask you too is that I know you can't give us a timetable, but with their help, it's
you know, you're right. You did ask me that. We got sidetracked a little bit. I apologize, but
that's all right.
Here's what I say: since I don't get into the psychic prediction stuff because no one's ever been right about it, and the reason for that
uh-huh.
that they're not right is because people need to. Eventually, they're going to find this out anyway. I'll predict that uh-huh. they're going to, every single person on this planet in the next few years is going to know extraterrestrials exist without exception.
Hmm. Wow.
I won't say how or why because it just gets into too much controversy. But the reason these predictions for exact times and dates don't work is because millions and millions of beings from other worlds are involved in one huge operation just to save this planet.
How nice.
And the first thing they have to do is solve the totalitarian ET issue out there in space
mm-hmm.
and find the solution to that before they can permanently solve it here. They'll just end up back here.
Sure.
So it's a much bigger issue than people realize. They are concentrating on saving the entire planet and most of its populace, not individual people, by giving them rides on spaceships.
Sure.
These people are all tasked, highly professional. And they don't have time, just the logistics of finding and secretly, psychically, telepathically guiding someone out in the desert to pick them up is a staggering operation. And it's being monitored by good and bad guys. So it's not an easy thing to do yet.
I think it's important from your perspective of your friends, and one thing I've learned from you, Scott, is that this time it's going to be different than a battle against good versus evil, in the sense that
that's correct. Yeah,
yeah, because the reptilians are even though they would lose in a war against the Galactic Alliance, they would probably destroy everything in its path.
That's been a habit. That is actually in galactic history. They've done this in other worlds in
okay.
the past.
Okay. But so this time, the transformation that you're talking about will not only help us, but also them as well?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
It'll also help the reptilians, the tall grays, the short grays,
right.
different races which they have one flair, one way or another, influential control over.
Right.
They always use races in front of them to get into the background to try to control resources. They're really here to get resources secretly shipped off world. And you got 7 billion people to go about their daily lives to provide those resources, get them out of the ground, manufacture them, and then classified, they get shipped off.
I have to ask you something interesting. Something an interesting question. We talked about this about a week ago, Scott. What role does the I believe there's a secret U.S. military base in the middle of Australia. What role does that have in the shifting of resources off planet?
It's not just there's others than that, but the point is it's thousands of miles from anywhere. You can't fly over it. And if you want to launch something, and I don't mean by conventional rockets like the PR program that was NASA.
Right.
Space shuttle has been retired. They won't ever fly it again. So what are they using to get up there now?
Right.
But the PR job is, we send our astronauts to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Baloney. Yeah, mm-hmm. PR-wise, we send a few. But that's not what's going on.
Uh-huh.
If you want to take something up in space and not have it be seen, and you can keep the skies clear, you can keep the satellites from seeing it, and have an agreement with Russia and other in China to do this so the public doesn't see it, then you take things up and off and down off the world in places where no one can get anywhere near it.
Sure, sure.
So that's my answer to you.
Well, here's an interesting thought I wanted to share it with you and my many listeners, is that, of course, the price of gold has gone up, rocketed since the late 90s, early, like 10 years ago. 10, 12, 14 years ago, gold was at $250 to $300 an ounce. Since that time, it's ranged up to all the way up to $1,500, $1,600 an ounce. I'm not sure what it is today. But also in concurrence with that, rare earth minerals have just skyrocketed in place.
And
of course, if you've got a steady supply and a high demand, the price is going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Are what's being shipped off planet, are these rare earth minerals?
Yeah, you're on the right track, exactly.
And precious metals, so that it's created an artificial shortage.
Gold, for instance, is used in science and other technologies and anti-gravity and other things they don't have the same value to extraterrestrial races as we do here as a value for supporting or being money.
Sure, sure.
And obviously the technological status of this world today is fully capable of getting any mineral off the ground, processing it, even building replacement parts for extraterrestrial craft in hidden bases here, and supplying them and giving them a base on Earth, a way station to go from here to other worlds. And they've been doing that under a classified program since, after Eisenhower.
So the if I may make an out-of-this-world statement, so they're taking our precious metals, gold included, and the rare minerals, and shipping it off-planet.
That's correct. And they've done some genetic things as well, which is not very encouraging.
Okay.
A lot of that has been kiboshed or nipped, nipped in the bud, so to speak, as far as the more diabolical things that they were doing.
Sure.
It's being very strongly policed at this point.
Uh-huh.
Very,
well,
very
good.
Carefully.
That's good.
Just shy of going to war, in a galactic war, breaking up this treaty. And the thing that is important for people to know is little things like, hey, where did the radiation go that nobody talks about anymore from Fukushima?
Exactly.
They don't even want it focused on in the news now because it gets too close to the public knowing about uncovering why it's being covered up.
Sure.
And that always, 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 every time goes to the extraterrestrial issue.
Interesting.
That's important for people to know that. And a lot of people around the world are becoming aware of this. They know they're being deceived on a massive level.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to wake up about this despite the misuse of extraterrestrial technology being implemented against them to keep them kind of dumbed down from this or too busy to think.
Right, right.
You know.
Right.
But the fact is, we wouldn't even be on this radio show right now if we weren't getting some protective guidance and help from friends from out of town, and I mean very far out of town.
Sure, sure. Well, it's
nice. Despite what all the negative forces are doing, we're still doing this.
Well, it's nice to have friends in high places, Scott. Definitely.
You know, we all need them. To turn this world around, we're going to need massive help from friends from out of town because people on Earth as a mass are not capable of doing it anymore.
Sure, sure.
So we need that help. We've never been alone. People are going to discover that anyway,
right,
soon. One way, I will not stick to this, but I will say this. The Mayan shamans, in their Mayan calendar, they passed down their lineage how to read this remarkable calendar. It technically came to an end on December 21st, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the Mayans themselves, who know how to read it, not the archaeologists who tried to fit it into a Bible prophecy or some other kind of thing, which they really shut down and wouldn't talk to anybody for a while because they wouldn't listen to them. Basically, that prophecy, and this is the shamans themselves, say the end of the Mayan calendar starts the beginning of a new one. It is not about an Armageddon. It's about a unexpected worldwide transformation. What they will say is that the end time is between 2007 and 2015.
Mm.
And they, and quote unquote, they say, we do not know what form this will take, but it means the end of evil as an experiment on Earth.
Well, that's a wonderful thought. That's a wonderful thought.
That's them. I didn't make that statement.
No, I'm saying I agree with them totally. What a wonderful thing to think about. The end of evil as an experiment.
Isn't that interesting, mm-hmm, the way
and,
it's put?
And this also, I mentioned this during the last hour with James von Prague, that it also dovetails with the predictions by Nostradamus that starting in the 2030s and 2040s that we would start having the beginning of 1,000 years of spiritual peace and enlightenment in this planet.
I got news for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, there would be no one left on Earth.
Hmm.
In the way it's going, left to its own devices. Globally, all the scientists in the world know now, and this is to all the political people, the UN people.
Mm-hmm.
I was recently on a talk show, the ambassador of France was talking about their meeting with Obama and other people where they've admitted global warming is not only inevitable and it is real,
mm-hmm,
but it's so dangerous that if we don't do something about it worldwide now, there won't be anybody left by 2030
mm-hmm.
or 40.
Sure.
It's that exponentially rapid.
Sure.
So they're repositioning resources right now collectively to try to deal with this problem. And even then, it won't be fast enough. So we're still going to require help,
sure,
from beings,
absolutely,
who have never been part of this trap here on this earth, that have the technology, spiritual advancement, and the know-how to, mm-hmm, really turn this around in time. We're, mm-hmm, going to require it. What, mm-hmm, people don't realize is on other worlds, when their cultures got to a point where they were industrialized to a point where they could destroy themselves, there were negative influences like, mm-hmm, this earth has had.
Mm-hmm.
In galactic history, some other race always came to their help at the last minute,
mm-hmm,
and saved them and helped turn them around. And this is, goes through entire galactic history. So why not on our planet as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. Scott, would you like to take any calls from any listeners?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Our number here for listeners who'd like to ask Scott any questions about the Galactic Alliance or anything he said today is area code 425-373-5527. Or if you're within Western Washington, there is a toll-free number at 1-888-298-5569. I have to ask you, Scott, you know, what you've painted is a wonderful view of the future. Could you share with us, I think there's a meditation, hue that you mentioned before on,
yeah,
the program. If you could,
yeah,
share that with there, the...
The hue, the vibration that it makes when human beings say this with their vocal cords, or think it even,
mm-hmm,
it's set up in galactic history at the beginning of time when all the universes were made as a kind of a fail-safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can barrier keep people from remembering this word, which functions only one way, you can shut them down and control them, and that's what's happened here.
Sure.
On other normal worlds, and there are many human worlds, because human beings did not evolve on this planet originally. They were brought here.
Sure.
We'll get into that another time, but, you know, this hue, when it's sounded or sung or connected, people connect into it through the pineal gland, the center of the brain,
sure,
the seat of soul, which actually is for looking into other realities and dimensions and plugging into the omnipresent living force that supports and sustains all life. They call it the God particle,
sure,
the CERN supercollider,
sure,
things like,
sure,
that. And it connects everything, even in the void of space, because the void of space is not void. There's a very fine energy field running through it that is not molecular.
Sure, sure.
And they know that, scientists. They don't know what the heck it is, but they're very curious.
You know,
and human beings have the ability to plug directly into that.
Right.
And once that pineal gland, this third eye, as it's called in the East, is turned on or cleared out, the liquid in it, and you can start to use it, get in and out of the body this way. You can go out and explore the universe directly and plug into knowing all this hidden stuff for yourself. And, mm-hmm, once that awakens, you know it with such certainty No one outside can ever convince you or confuse you or keep you in speculation and doubt after that.
Okay.
And it's just known as you, and it sounds like this when you do it.
Okay.
Generally, a person gets comfortable in a chair or on a bed, takes deep breaths, thinks of someone or something they love, and then sends out a few of these. You. Inwardly,
sure,
with your eyes
sure.
closed, you just look and listen. You don't try to make anything happen.
Nice.
Then you might do it one or two more times.
Sure.
Then it would be very, very beneficial if people could put together a certain combination of words in this way. They could say to themselves, or write this down, and they're sending this out into this omnipresent energy, remember. Human beings
mm-hmm.
have the ability to connect directly into it, and it's only a benevolent force. That's
sure.
one thing they need to know. Nothing
right.
negative can connect into it at
okay.
all. No aliens, no technology, no misuse of technology, no bad guys, no demons, none of it.
Okay.
This is one area they cannot penetrate, so people need to understand that.
Scott, we got a caller on the line. Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Okay. Carol, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Yeah, hi.
Well, good to talk to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Am I on right now?
You sure are, my friend. Please ask Scott any question you like.
Hi, Carol.
Okay. I would like to know if there is there still activity going on at the Dulce, New Mexico underground base?
Oh, sure.
You know, activities between cloning or whatnot between humans and aliens?
If you're asking me if extraterrestrials involved there, yes. Now, the cloning, much of that is being backed off on right now as we speak. You're not going to hear about it because it's classified, but there's a lot of people in those, what we call the military-industrial complex, that are being contacted and being set kind of free from this diabolical control, and it's ramping up.
Oh, okay.
Does
that answer your question?
Yes, it does, because Phil Schneider came out with this.
I know, and he was killed.
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
But remember, Phil Schneider was a highly classified individual who signed an agreement never to talk about it. He broke that oath.
Yeah.
And myself and other people, Ted, have never been part of, nor would we ever sign such an agreement
right.
to attest we'll never talk about it in the first place. So Ted, he did a very courageous thing, but I think he knew he was going to be taken out.
Right, and he was.
And he was.
One thing I wanted to tell you, Carol, Scott will be in person at the Galactic Wisdom Conference, November 21st through the 23rd at the Fort Worden Conference Center in Port Townsend, Washington. And if you'd like to meet Scott, you're more than welcome to come up and attend the conference. For more information, just go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. We just started running a special today. It's not on the website, but it's $197 for the three-day conference. It includes your accommodations, meals on Saturday, and all the workshops and free readings for the first 50 people who register. So if you're interested, just go to the website or just send me an email at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or feel free to call me at 509-750-9793. We have a lot of wonderful people coming, including Scott. So,
Is Carol still on the line? Or
yes.
Okay. I was starting to share about the hue, and this is it comes with a certain form of protection. Carol, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
You don't take my word for this, okay? There's an organization on Earth that is spiritual. It's a good organization that actually disseminates the hue called Ekankar. I've been a member for more than 35 years, but it isn't a possessor or an owner or a patenter of this word. It isn't owned by them. It's not owned by anyone on any world. And it always works the same way for everyone. So my purpose for doing what I do is not about that, because this book I share and what I share is published through a New York publisher, and what I'm doing is sharing about the hue because it's like the lost word, and when people start to work with it, it comes with a protection, and when you do it a few times, you ask this statement. Here it is. Safely show me purposefully hidden truth in the grand cosmic multidimensional universe and the much greater expanded knowing love within it. That statement sent out into the U, goes through the pineal gland, it goes through a pure channel, and it's saying to the universe, I have this bigger open heart imagination, and I want you to connect with me and show me this stuff in the grand multidimensional universe. And human beings, whether they think it or not, actually have the ability to experience and comprehend this. And the only way they're going to find it out is to try it 10 minutes, 15 minutes a night before they go to bed, and then go to sleep and don't give it another thought. Keep it up for up to 30 days, and one thing I will guarantee people is amazing things will happen.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Scott. And any more questions? We got 2 minutes left. Okay, fine. Scott, are you still there?
Yes, I just want okay. to know that I okay. have my own mission in doing what I'm doing, in okay. sharing the hue.
Okay, great.
And this hue will know where to guide and what to do people in their own unfoldment, and it will take them wherever they need to go. And I don't determine what that is or try to determine what that is for any individual.
Sure. Scott, we've only got a minute and a half left. I just wanted to make a few parting comments, and I'll give you
sure.
the rest of the time. 1 week from today, I'll be at both Scott and I will be at an international UFO conference in Bergen, Norway. For my listeners in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Germany, England, Holland, Belgium, in that area, or Germany, Switzerland, if you'd like to come to the conference, we'd love to have you. It starts Friday, October 10th, and lasts through Sunday. October 12th. I will plan to do some traveling after that. If you're in Germany or Switzerland and would like to meet me, please send me an email. I'd love to meet my listeners there. My phone, my email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, Scott, go ahead and have the rest of the floor for the next 40 seconds.
I wanted to share with people one thing. The only reason I do what I do, or write this book, or get out in front of people on radio, coast to coast, or whatever it is I've been on, many radio shows, and go to these conferences, which I'm just beginning, since the book was first published in January 10th, 2014 of this year. I do it for one reason. I do it because I'm motivated with the passion to share a way for people to access and find out for themselves what I reveal in the book in the sanctity and privacy of their own experience and being. That's the only reason I do this.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so glad you do, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on the air today. I will reschedule Graham Hancock for another time when he can appear. And thank you so much, everyone around the world, for listening. I hope you have a fantastic week. Bye-bye.